Today we're reading Psalm 4, to the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. We know that God will bless his word to our hearts. Have you ever had a difficult day? Nothing seemed to go according to plan. It seemed that everything that could go wrong did go wrong. When evening came and you put your head to the pillow, you were thankful to put the day to rest. And so you were overcome by a beautiful sleep, made all the more beautiful by what you have just had to face. There is no one who has never faced a day like what I have described. Perhaps you're going through such a time yourself, and you're longing for a new day, and what will be hopefully a fresh start. In this fourth psalm, David had not had a good day. Yet when the darkness crept in, he was content. I will both lay me down in peace, he said. The silent hours of slumber had arrived. What was David's trouble? What caused him to face a turbulent period so difficult that he was inspired in the penning of this poem? We'll think about his cry. The psalm begins with a prayer. David invokes God to hear him and calls upon the Lord to have mercy upon him. He describes himself as being in distress. What then was the nature of his problem? When we come to the second verse, we discover that his glory had been turned into shame by the sons of men. It would appear that his name had been dishonored. He was being gossiped about and maligned unjustly. This is a very great trial. When we have done wrong and then face criticism, that may be difficult, but at least the reason is known. We can blame ourselves. When we are criticized, when we feel ourselves to be innocent of all charges, well, that is a different matter. There is nothing as hurtful as personal slander and abuse. Yet this is nothing new. Human nature thrives in this kind of thing. For every gossiping tongue, there are a dozen ears, all too eager to listen. Those who listen provide the atmosphere where the gossip can operate. There is an appetite for this kind of thing, and it is very difficult when we find ourselves at the center of such stories. The question is, can we rise above the situation? Can we take the high moral ground? Are we capable of reacting to this kind of difficulty in a way that pleases God? Can the Bible supply us with principles guiding us through such times? The first principle that we gain from David's reaction is that he prayed. Rather than defend his reputation and his rights, he took recourse to God. This is the true value of being a Christian. When faced with any crisis, even the most personal of problems, we can cry to God. He will listen when no one else will listen. Let's also consider David's concern. David rose above the challenge he faced by addressing those who falsely accused him. What did he say? He reminded these people of his position. The Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. I am king. I have been given this position by God. I could not reasonably have expected to be reigning over Israel. God has blessed me. Therefore, as you criticize me, remember I am the Lord's anointed. He reminded his false accusers of his prayerfulness. I am not going to argue and debate with you. I will go to God. He will hear me. I have the greatest court to address. He pleaded with these people to refrain from sinning. He urged upon them the fear of God. He told them to commune with God as they lay upon their bed, to be still in their hearts. He therefore displayed a spiritual concern and a love even for his enemies. He urged them to offer sacrifices and make atonement for their sins. How like Christ David is. As our Saviour hung upon the cross, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We were all within the compass of that prayer. It was our sins which nailed Christ to the cross. It was our guilt that he made atonement for. There is forgiveness for you, because our Lord has a forgiving spirit towards those who are his enemies. A spirit of love and grace towards our enemies is a Christ-like spirit. Such a heart comes from him. Perhaps you are consumed by a sense of bitterness and hatred. Only the Lord can enable you to deal with the world and to deal with others with mercy, grace, and love. Bitterness and anger only harms one person, and that is yourself. But Christ can give you peace of heart despite what you have suffered. And this is why you need to seek the Lord for life today. We may think ourselves to be innocent, but we're all guilty. We're all guilty before God. But Christ has prayed for you and for me. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. We'll also think about David's confidence. As the psalm concludes, David places his confidence firmly in God. There is no sense that his false accusers had a change of heart, but this did not matter. David's heart was in the correct place spiritually. Therefore, he could look to God with confidence. He was quite literally in the place where he did not worry about people because his trust was in God. He freely admitted that people were doing him no good, but God would lift up the light of his countenance upon him. Too often in this world we look to people. This is so in the spiritual realm. We put too much confidence in religious leaders and church institutions. Some even trust in men and churches and rituals to get them to heaven. There is only one whom we need, and that is God. Many today feel a sense of betrayal because they have been let down and betrayed by those whom they trusted. Yet God will never betray you. When he lifts up his countenance, there is peace, there is rest, there is joy. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. David's confidence gave him a joy which was not dependent upon material prosperity. He said, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." So many think that they can only be happy when they have money, when they have luxury, when they have financial security. What happens when we lose these things, which many have? Does this mean that we can't be happy? We need a more basic reason to be happy. When we know Christ, he becomes our joy. Our focus is on him and not on things. Therefore, David was a happy man, a peaceful man. He could place his head upon the pillow after a day of being wrongfully accused, after a day of bitter and vitriolic tongues that were targeted at him. He could put his head to the pillow, knowing that he was safe in the arms of Jesus. Are you safe in Jesus today? Have you trusted him? Can you deal with life through Christ, in Christ? Because one day you will be with Christ. I thank you so much for listening.